Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. I have SMA Type 2, and I am a columnist and forums director for SMANewsToday.com. Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer, and joining me today is Camille Gongor. He is 37 years old, living with SMA type 2, originally from Poland, but he was born and is now living in Athens, Greece. He works for the European Network on Independent Living and is also the co-founder and chair of the Greek independent living organization, iLiving. And he is also the only disabled travel blogger in Greece. So a lot to talk about here. Camille, great to have you today.
Hey, Kevin. Hello, everyone. And thank you for having me. I've been following your podcast and the community in general for a long time. So I'm happy to engage in that way also. We do hear quite a lot of things. And I try to be active on my side. So yeah, I'm never bored.
I love it. No, I'm really excited for this conversation. And thank you so much for your support over the years. So Camille, well, just to get started, can you tell a little bit about just your life, kind of going back to the start of growing up with SMA, what it was like for you, and just growing up, both in Poland and in Greece?
Yes, thank you. Thank you. So actually, I didn't grow up in Poland. I was born in Greece. My parents met in Greece. And me and my family were, all my sisters were born in Greece. Actually, we were five children, three of us having SMA. So, I mean, it's a particular story. And yeah, we were, and our childhood was, it has its own challenges because we were not Greek, so we were not entitled to all the benefits and stuff until some point. So it was, but it was still interesting and a nice childhood from the ones that today we say that we miss anymore and that children don't grow up anymore, in this pure, innocent way we did in the past. In a way, now everyone has a screen in front of them. We didn't, so we had to find other ways to, to entertain ourselves, which was also interesting. So, yeah, we grew up, started mostly in the Polish community of Athens, and then, we slowly detached from that and went to school, which was Greek school, when we, of course, mastered the language and everything. And I started myself going to the special school, because at that point, 30 years ago, it was kind of the only reasonable solution. My mother needed to go to work, so we needed to, to have a place where, they will come and take you with the bus and, they do everything. So she doesn't have to take us anywhere. And the schools here were, and unfortunately, pretty much still are inaccessible, the mainstream schools. And even though the education nowadays is much better and there are many more opportunities for disabled young children to, to study together with non-disabled with support, but with the support of government, but back in my time, it was not really a possibility. So we grew up and went to a special school, which was not ideal. And nowadays I advocate a lot against this kind of settings. I think it's segregating and it doesn't help society to evolve into an inclusive way, neither disabled people nor the non-disabled ones. So yeah, we went to the school. I was a pretty good student and I liked to educate myself and the lessons and all this aspect. So yeah, I finished school with very good grades. Then I went to high school, again, a special one, which has, the support we needed. There's the buses, the staff in the school to help you with the food and whatever you need and all these things. And after that, again, I was one of the top, class in the class and this kind of things. Because I also saw it that this is kind of my job. And if I want to succeed in a society which was not that inclusive and not that without giving many opportunities for disabled people, for example, in Europe, the unemployment for disabled people is quite high. So, you need to excel and to be better than the average. So, we kind of probably you heard it again that a lot of people try to do that at some point when, disabled people, I mean, so we can kind of compete in the in these societies today. So, and then I went to university to study journalism and communication. Of course, the university was not special anymore. It was a regular university, which was good. It was a great experience for me. And in a way, I needed to learn. I was like a fish that I needed to learn to swim in a big ocean because, suddenly I was not in a protected environment where I was the star, which was, happening in the school before. I was kind of, the star of the school. And, it was kind of easy. Everything was smooth and I was not really challenged much because, we had the different level of disabilities in the school. So, for everyone to be able to pass the classes and everything, the teachers were really easygoing with us that were good students. But in the university, it was not anymore like that. I needed to find ways how to go there, how, to keep to get notes from them, from the lessons, to give exams on a very competitive way and all these things, which was good for me. And I think it was in my kind of mentality. And it helped me from the fact that I was already from school years a good student and I liked, to do my homework and to educate myself. And I still do, as you can probably see also behind me with all these books and stuff. I think we all our life we educate ourselves and evolve, and that's bad, and that's what we should do. So yeah, I went to university. I really enjoyed this time of my life. And again, I was one of the good students. I was going pretty much to most of the lessons as far as I could because, there were sometimes challenges of inaccessibility. With the bad weather, it was difficult to get to the university since it didn't have any adapted car, or I didn't have personal assistance or anything. So I was relying on family and friends. So it was still challenging. And to educate is not that easy in Greece, but we did, and I finished at the university. As I said, I studied journalism. I did that because I wanted, because I talk a lot, and I am an extrovert, I think, and I like to cover very many different topics, and I am very curious of personality, so I like to ask questions and to answer questions as well. So I studied journalism because basically I like it. And when I went to university, some friends of me said, and some people in general said, "Oh, good, Camille, now you will talk about disability issues and you will cover these issues in newspapers or I don't know, internet, TV, whatever." And I was like, "Hell no, I want to write about sports, about travel, about culture, and not about disability. This is cliche to write about disability." And back then, in this, in my teenager and I don't know, early adulthood years, I had this mentality that I don't want to do anything related to disability, because for me it was cliché. Disabled people were studying things that are relevant to disability. They dating disabled people. They, I don't know, go to watch only movies with disabled friends, and I don't know, these kind of things, which I don't say it's bad. And we did it as well, but I didn't want to follow all the cliches. And I was kind of rebellious and I said, "No, I will live a normal life, do things I like, and study journalism and go talk about football and basketball and I don't know, whatever else, and about, I don't know, our culture and things." So that was the purpose of my studies. But life has different plans. And at some point, a bit after after I graduated, a disabled guy here in Greece, Stelios Kimbouropoulos, also with SMA, by the way, a pretty famous guy here in the county, came and said that, "Camille, would you like to join a group of people I make?" So we traveled to Strasbourg, which is in France, to follow a kind of event, a conference about independent living, we create the first dependent, the first delegation from Greece. And I said, yes, sure, why not? You know, I was keen to travel and to engage, and you know, I saw an opportunity there. So we went, 11 disabled people with our assistants or whoever, you know, was with us, were with us. And then I realized that in Europe, in many different countries, they discuss about things like choice and control, self-determination, personal assistance, deinstitutionalization, taking people out of institutions, living in community, things that in Greece, to a big extent, were unimaginable. So when we came back, a few of us, 6 out of these 11 people, 3 of them, by the way, with SMA, we decided to create the Independent Living Organization of Greece and to start advocating for a choice and control, for personal assistance, legislation, for, you know, for people to go out of institutions, to sell community services, support. And of course, you know, together with that, stuff like inclusive education, I don't know, accessibility, and all these kind of things. And we started doing this work on voluntary basis, no money, nothing. And slowly, you know, we achieved, and nowadays we have a legislation about personal assistance. We were included in the government's stakeholders group on personal assistance in the country. You know, we advised them how it should work, you know, what should be the system, what should be the role of parents, if it should be the for everyone or not for everyone, which impairments should people with which impairments should get it, under which conditions, and all these kind of things. And yeah, we have now a pilot project with more than 2,000 disabled people in the country getting some hours of personal assistance. It's far from good. It's pretty messy, but it's much better than what we had 10 years ago when no one knew anything about these things. So it's a big progress, and we try to advocate. Our organization is not that active anymore because all of us, you know, follow different paths, and we don't have that much of support. But all of us are pretty active and try to do things. And in between of all this, and I finish here because I talk too much, in between of all this journey, I got engaged with the European Network on Independent Living. This organization is the one that did this conference in France that we attended with a Greek delegation. So I started to follow it after that. It was in 2013. So around 2 years later, I saw an opportunity to travel to Belgium, which is where the organization is based, for 6 months and volunteer. And everything would be covered by the Erasmus program, which is a European program that covers mobility for young people, disabled and non-disabled, for everyone. And in my case, it also offered my assistant and financial support for personal assistance and for transport, all these kind of things. So I went to Belgium for 6 months, volunteering for the European Network on Independent Living, connected with the Independent Living Movement, the European one, not only the Greek one in that case. I was, you know, in touch with many people from different countries, learned from about the history, learned that it started in USA from Ed Roberts and, you know, and California and everything, and Berkeley, and many things. We learned about the late Judy Heumann. We even invited her to one of our events online, and, you know, so I was exposed to the activism world of disability, and especially from the social model of disability perspective. So I started, you know, I learned also the civil society movement in Europe, in Belgium, which is in Brussels, which is the capital of the European Union. Everything happens there. You have the European Commission, the European Parliament, so big institutions that take decisions for the whole continent. And you know, we work there. We work with these bodies, and the European Network on Independent Living try to influence and to lobby these bodies, you know, for to have legislation on European level about independent living, and, you know, to invest European money into community living and not into segregation, all these things. So I went for 6 months to Belgium. By the way, the parents of my friends in Greece were saying, oh, Camille's mother is crazy. She's leaving him alone to live alone. We will never leave you. It's dangerous. Because I went not with my family, but with assistants, with people I didn't know that well. But that was great for me because I got empowered. You know, I learned many things. I still, you know, I was living all my life in protected with my family. I was not ready to manage my life, to you know, to decide what I want to eat, that I have to clean the apartment, that I have to make sure the kitchen is clean, that if I want to go out in the rain or not. I needed to take these decisions. And it was great. What time I want to go to sleep, all these kind of things, which we still don't experience in Greece that much because we still, you know, we get very limited support, but that's a different discussion. So I went there and I finished this volunteering after 6 months. I came with even more information for the Greek Independent Living Organization and with much more experience, which we brought to Greece. And a bit later, there was a job opening in the same organization. So I applied, I knew them, they knew me, and now I'm working with them. Already I am the second oldest staff member of the organization, working almost 7 years, I think. And I'm pretty lucky and happy that I do it. You know, I learned so much, we really influence a lot and have a big impact of disabled people life all over Europe and even beyond. This gave me many opportunities to talk with decision makers, to give presentation about many topics, to educate myself about different issues. I work a lot on personal assistance, on climate change and how it is relevant to disability, on technology and how it is relevant to disability and independent living, like AI and the impact of AI, on hate speech and hate crime to disabled people. I work a lot with young people. I am supporting the youth network of the organization. So, you know, it helps me to engage and to travel to different conferences and trainings and meetings. And that was the reason also that since I was traveling so much for work mostly, but when I had time also for myself because I love travel. So I created the travel blog, The Traveler. So because we didn't have something like that in Greece. And I said, okay, I create this, not only for disabled people, it's not an accessibility guide. It's just my experience from traveling. And if anyone benefits, that's already very good and very positive. And yeah, nowadays I had quite a few followers. And you know, people send me messages, oh Camille, I saw you were in this country, so it means that I can go as well. Maybe you can recommend, you know, a hotel or something. And yeah, I'm very happy if it happens. And sometimes non-disabled people as well. And this is the big win that, you know, it's possible and to show to everyone that you can travel no matter, I don't know, of the challenges and the situation in your life, whether it is disability, whether it is something else. If you want, you can find opportunities and it doesn't have to cost money or it's not being inaccessible. There are ways to overcome things. Of course, not everywhere and not every time, but, you know, it's up to you to pursue your things. And because you probably will wonder, I didn't mention SMA much in all this solo speaking. And that's because I was never much related to SMA. I barely knew what it is. I knew what it is very briefly, but I never researched it. We grow up, as we say sometimes jokingly with some friends here, in the before Christ era of SMA treatments, which means that, you know, the previous generation, we did, you know, we had a very different approach than today's children and families, where they know everything about the SMA, there are therapies, and you can approach very different, and they approach very differently the whole situation. In our time, we were living, let me call it normal lives. We didn't, you know, we also choose as a family not to engage with many doctor staff and things. And that was, you know, most of our life. I don't say this is good or not, because probably it has both negative and positive aspects in how my life evolved. But now, the older I get, I am 37 now, as you said, the older I get, I realize that I need, to understand better my body, what I have, so SMA, and to connect with the community. So I started following you, your website, the European ones. I am a member of a Greek organization called this MDA Europe, sorry, MDA Hellas. And yeah, even though sometimes we disagree of some things, and in general, and I am not into the medical aspect much, but, and I don't like, for example, I hate when I hear in conferences and in events, people say, patients. We are not patients, we are not sick. I don't like, when I am approached as a patient. I am not a sick person, I am not contagious, and I don't know even if I want a cure. I just want support to have a good life, and with the choice and control, with dignity in the community. And I mean, I talk about myself now. So, yeah, for example, I don't see myself as patient. So yeah, sometimes I disagree with this, with the medical approach, but with the older I get, I understand the importance of embracing also the side of our lives, because our life is not only barriers and oppression and discrimination. It's also, the impairment we have, SMA in that case. And this also affects our lives. And I realized it 2 years ago, I almost died. And then I took some more seriously stuff. And yeah, a few months ago, I started doing physiotherapy, which I didn't do for 20 years. After school, I pretty much never engaged into physiotherapy. I thought it would be useless and also costly, and I didn't have time. I had other priorities. Nowadays, I dedicate time and resources and everything also to kind of improve whatever can be improved, and to maintain the condition I have, to be able to continue to travel, to be here with my loved ones, to also support the RIS diploma that I take. And it's better effective if you do also this kind of thing. So yeah, I don't say I am the best SMA patient or whatever you call it in the world. I still don't do a lot of the by the book things we see in the guidelines, but I think I found a balance that makes me pretty happy with my life. And also, yeah, I'm learning a lot, and your podcast is definitely a source, and the website of SMA Today and SMA News Today and everything, for me, to understand things much better, and you have great resources out there. Sorry I talked too much then, but yeah, I wanted to give an overview so everyone has an idea who the hell is this guy.
No, I love it. Thank you so much for sharing, and all of that was great. And I just want to go back for a minute, because you talked briefly about your family at the beginning, and you said you're one of several siblings with SMA. Can you talk about that a little more? Like, first off, like, are you on the younger end of your siblings, in the middle, older? Like, where are you there?
Yeah, so we were five siblings, and I say well because we lost one of my sisters,
gotcha.
And 20 years ago, approximately, three of us. The first three of the five had SMA. I am the eldest one. So we lost the second one after me. And so now we are still two with SMA. We live together, and my mother is supporting us because we don't really get personal assistance and much other support from the state at the moment. My sister got a few hours from the pilot project. We have now a personal assistance, but limited hours. And I didn't get at all hours, even though I am one of the people that contributed for it to happen in the country. So this is a fun turn of the history that, but okay, it's a random process, and I was not selected by the system. So, okay, the point is for the project to happen correctly and not for me to get it necessarily. But I'm not complaining. I still feel very privileged, and you will never hear me complaining about life. I think that, when you have people without food, without home, without families, For me, it's not much to complain. I have education, I have family, I travel, I have a good job. Yeah, okay. I mean, SMA is not a bad thing either. I think that thanks to SMA, I had experiences I would never live if I didn't have SMA. And probably I would be much stupid, much more stupid, and much more boring person. I mean, you never know, but that's a prediction I do. If I didn't have, if I didn't grow up as disabled. And so yeah, I'm not complaining. I move forward with what I have and yeah, try to empower other people to yeah, to live their lives and to be as active as possible.
I love that. And I asked that because like for me, I'm very close to my family, but I'm the only one with SMA. And I know other families in the community where, yeah, they do have multiple with SMA or a couple for so for you and your siblings, in that dynamic, was it, I know you, so you're the oldest, and but was there conversations you had with your siblings and you were kind of navigating life together, especially figuring out how, okay, or how are we going to live independently one day, or just navigate the system and advocate for better opportunities. Did you have conversations like that with you and your siblings?
Well, I mean, now that on the top of my mind, that what I can't remember, we never really went very deep on this kind of topics. I mean, we kind of considered our lives, how to say it, in a bit at the same time normal, and at the same time, that you are disabled and you need support. And okay, everything came kind of naturally. So we never really, I mean, in the family. Never really went to, not never, but very rarely went, to analyze stuff and to, especially with my sisters and stuff, we would not talk about, I don't know, what would happen with our, I don't know, with us. And maybe sometimes you can mention or have small discussion, but it was not a topic that was coming very often and something that was bothering us. We're just moving forward. We would probably discuss, I don't know, school or developments in the country or, I don't know, celebrity things or, or every day or what happens in the school or, whatever was on the everyday agenda, family affairs, stuff like that. We would not focus that much on this aspect. I think nowadays we discuss it more than ever. Not too much, but, we bring, it comes sometimes because, as I said, we get older, we realize a bit more things. We see some changes. Now there are the therapies also. Then, we start to question a few things. We are seeing doctors more regularly. Things like that. We see also our the SMA progressing. So it changes, the way we think and the things we can do. And this, of course, also impact the things we discuss. So, but yeah, it was never like something super deep. I think sometimes we discuss it with friends and, with other disabled people, but still we try to do, as I said, in kind of normal life and to do regular things. And when I say normal, I put brackets, but, it's not normal according to the society, because in my view, everyone is normal in one way or another, or no one is normal.
I totally agree there. I mean, that's partly why my column is titled Embracing My Inner Alien, because it's about, I think we all have our own quote unquote abnormalities, and no one really fits any kind of standard societal, whatever. It's just we're all unique in different ways. And in our case, it's disability is a prominent part of that, but there's so many other facets of our lives that are unique, to our own personalities or an interest. And and Camille, thinking about all of your advocacy work, you talked a lot about that, but I know you're talking too about just the things that you're really passionate about. What are some of the other things you're passionate about that this can be hobbies, this can be other interests that have fueled your work, what's some other things you really want people to know about you?
Yeah, thank you. I have quite a few passions. I was always a guy with a lot of interest. That was also in my childhood. When I said I was a good student, it was not only because I felt this was the right thing to do, but because it was natural for me, I liked to read, to learn, and I continue to have these things. I read a lot. I buy a lot of books, and I listen also to books. So I can read at the same time in different formats, two or three different books in one day sometimes. No, I mean, chapters from the books, not one book in a day, it's too much. But for example, I don't like to watch much movies or series. I prefer to read from comics to, to everything, to nonfiction, to which make, makes me understand better the world and how, and, which surrounds us, which is very important for me. And, the history and the environment, the climate change, all these things. So I like to read a lot. And that's one big aspect of my life. I like to travel a lot. I created also the blog, and I, for example, when I go to vacations, I try to book different destinations every time, and preferably different countries. So this year, if everything goes well, I will go to Egypt for vacation. Last year, we went to South Korea. This is vacation. And I also travel, for work. And when I travel for work, I try to still see the stuff in the different places and stay longer and know the culture. So traveling is also a big part of my life. And sometimes I combine it also with books. So I buy books from the places I go and stuff like that. I like chess, especially during COVID period. It, was reignited inside me. So I was watching a lot of YouTube videos on chess. And nowadays I play a little bit less again because I work a lot and there's not that much time, but chess is something I love. And I found fascinating the infinite options you have, to play. And sometimes jokingly, I say that I learned to play chess before I learned to write, which probably is true, because I was taught, sorry, how to play chess from a very, very young age from my godfather. So yeah, chess is also something I like. What else I like? I like stupid videos on YouTube, just to decompress myself, to watch something when you work a lot. By the way, I like my work and activism a lot, but sometimes it's overwhelming to kind of be activist 24/7. So you need to decompress, and then watching stuff on YouTube from, I don't know, America's Got Talent to, I don't know, to fails or to sport highlights or stuff like that. I also love sports. I go even to watch sports personally. I mean, to attend in stadiums like basketball, cycling, soccer, this kind of things, and many others. And if, when I travel, I also try to attend sports events and things like that. So I am a sports fan. Some of the books that I read are about sports people, biographies and things like that. I don't know. I like to try different tastes and foodies, food and to different cultures. I mean, that's it. These things come to my mind like first. I like to educate myself. Sometimes, I try to learn a new language, Spanish at this time of my life, and other things. Yeah. I don't know.
No, I love that. I mean, yeah, and it's, I think that's a, the combination of, I can see how a lot of those hobbies and passions fuel your work as well. So that's really cool. And Camille, can you talk to you a little bit about what does a typical day of the week look like for you with managing your work, your care, everything else, or like, and also what you like to do? What's kind of, if you had to pick just a day of the week to walk us through?
Yeah. By the way, there are one thing I forgot and I want to add to what I like a lot is also art. I think that one of the things, if I regret something in my life, is that I didn't become an art historian. So history of art and art is something that fascinates me. So again, I read a lot about art and I try to understand and I visit museums and all these things. So, okay, that was a small break for the question. And coming to your question now, a typical day from in my life. So, yeah, we wake up in the morning, usually because we don't have personal assistance, and our mother is the one that is supporting me and my sister. The three we need the three of us. This means that also, I mean, because we feel that we should take care of our mother the same way she takes care of us. We also follow a little bit of her kind of in a way schedule. So wake up when she wakes up and go to sleep when she's tired. I mean, with of course different exceptions depending if we have an obligation or a meeting or things like that. Of course, everyone will accommodate each other, but usually my mother wakes up more or less. We wake up at similar time, so she support me. I will do my stuff. I will read a little bit in the morning. I like to read a bit, to kind of this is my time to have to dedicate a bit to the books. Then I will eat my breakfast, and then I will go to my computer, which I spend most of the day, and I do a lot of stuff with my computer, from flirting to communicating to working. I work online remotely from my computer, to watching sports, to do everything. So computer is pretty important in my life. I cannot use my phone by myself, but I can do everything from my computer, even using my phone through my computer. So yeah, after breakfast, I go to my computer. I will read probably the news, a little bit of the news. I will see if I have any important messages. I might text some people and reply messages. And then I will work if it's a working day. And I will, dedicate quite a few hours to that. Then we have meetings, reports. In my work, we can have different stuff. So I will work. Then in the evening, I will, gonna reply to Anna when I finish the work, which, by the way, it's a bit flexible because usually I work from home. I can manage my time the way it's more convenient, which sometimes is good. Sometimes it makes things chaotic because you lose the work-life balance. But still, it's up to you to be disciplined and manage time. So yeah, after I finish work, I continue to do stuff online, talk with people, with friends, with I don't know, with my other half, whatever. Maybe I watch sports. I really like to watch sports. I reply to emails. I don't know. I arrange meetings. Sometimes I have a call with the friends. Maybe, I am not a person who goes out every day because it's hassle and I don't have regular support, so it's too much. And I don't really even feel the need to be out every day. I like to be at home. But sometimes, I will go out, I will meet friends, I will go to an event. I like, maybe would go to a sport event or to have some, I don't know, dinner with people or meet the other half, or I don't know, depending, maybe a cultural event, but this, it can happen a few times per week or a few times per month, depending on the season. In the winter, I don't go that much out compared to the summer, which is, most of the time in Greece, of course. We have a very good weather, and you are all welcome to come, of course. And yes, and I don't know. And in the and yeah, when in the night, I slowly get, for the sleeping time. Again, usually when my mother feels, it's time for us to go. Usually, our inner, how you call it, inner clocks are adapted to the same thing. So we all feel, the same time more or less to wake up and to go to sleep. So I say, we follow my mother, but more or less we are used from the all these years to follow the same schedule. And so unless I am traveling, which of course it's very different, and then everything is different from what you eat to what time you go to sleep, what time you wake up, what time you what how much you work and all these things. But unless I'm traveling usually, and if I don't have any special, yeah, I will go to bed around, I don't know, a bit after 11, and then I will listen a bit to my audiobook and probably go to sleep. Yeah, and during the day, of course, you eat, you do your, I don't know, hygiene stuff and all these things, which of course happen and change, you know, and depending on the day, you do different stuff. I don't know, did I answer or
Oh,
did you?
absolutely. I love it. No, thank
And 2 times per week, I have physiotherapy nowadays. A few times per month, I have also therapy in general because I started recently and I found it very helpful. Not because, not related to my disability, but I think nowadays everyone benefits from having therapy and discuss topics that bother us, whether it is about relationships or whether it is about our job or whether it is about you know, family affairs or whatever. It's good to do therapy, I think. And at least in my case, it helps me so and decompress me. So I also have it sometimes. And yeah, this is my regular life. And once per month, approximately, I travel. So
I love that. Yeah. And I know you do a lot of travel blogging. That's great. That's great. Hey, Camille. Yeah. No, this has been fantastic. I love hearing your story. And just wrapping up here, do you have any advice or message that you want to share with others in the SMA community? And this can pertain to anything about, you know, your lived experiences or just anything you want to say to others listening here.
well, I mean, many things come to my mind, but at the same time I realize that, hey, Camille, who are you to, you know, to advise people how to live? And I think maybe this is also a kind of advice that yeah, trust yourselves, live the best, you know, the best your body and the things you want to do. And yeah, okay. Talk with others, listen to other opinions, but in the end of the day, you are the expert of yourselves, and you should decide and how you want to live. So yeah, my advice basically is live the way you want to live, because life is short, and yeah, take the as many opportunities as you can now, not tomorrow. Do the things you want. Try to live your dreams. Try to follow your dreams and not postpone them for the future. And also, yeah, and also something which leads to that, to the dreams, that yeah, if you want to achieve something, stay committed, believe in it, and step by step try to achieve it. In my life, it helped me a lot. I evolved my life a lot because yeah, day after day, you know, I took small steps and I reached to the things I want to reach. I still have many goals to achieve, but I also achieved many of the ones I had. So I think, yeah, follow your goals and you live the life you want to live.
I love that. That's awesome. Well, Camille, thanks you so much for sharing. I'll definitely have you on again. I really enjoyed talking with you here today. And just wishing you all the best with all of your endeavors and organizations, traveling. It was a pleasure talking with you today.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. Of course, I am available. Anyone who would like to reach me, don't hesitate to text me. I don't know. I guess, Kevin, you will put my email or my social media or whatever in the
Yeah.
description. So everyone, whoever wants to reach me, don't hesitate. I am happy to discuss, and if I can be of any use, I will be happy to support.
Absolutely. We'll definitely include your info in
Because
the description.
after all, what I learned is about community and about supporting each other, and peer support is huge, and you know it can change. I am here thanks to other people who supported me, so I also try to do the same for others.
I love that, and I really appreciate that, Camille. And yeah, we'll definitely have your info, your website, and everything in the description here. So awesome. Well, Camille, thanks again. And for our listeners out there, you can hear more stories and conversations like this by subscribing to the SMA News Today podcast. You can also connect with us directly on our forums and social media. And you can follow smanewstoday.com for all the latest SMA news and perspectives. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. Thanks so much for listening, and we will see you next time. Take care.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.smanewstoday.com.